The Dow closes above 300, making it the third day in a row of gains. Thank you, Congress. It's the business news headlines for Thursday, the 7th day of October. Thanks, as always, for being with us. In other business news, the top five at-risk housing markets in the U.S. is out, and we've got that list. The sad tale of food service workers continues. Tesla shareholders to kick Elon's brother to the curb? The most sought-after demographic among retailers has been the teen market. So, how are they today spending their money? We'll tell you. We've got the Wall Street Report. Fewer Americans file for first-time unemployment, and can workers who are fired for not getting vaccinated collect unemployment benefits? We'll tell you. For the interview, horsewoman Kim Gratney and her very unique style of business coaching. But first, the news.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, a socially responsible way to acquire diverse talent. FocusandFind.com. Tarot International for corporate and personal training to achieve, lead, and outclass. TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, the original agriculture equipment recyclers and suppliers at NTPDA.com.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Thursday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby, and do not miss the conversation following the news all about Kim Gratney and something called Full Circle Creative and Coaching. It's really unique. I think you're going to like it. Well, it's been three straight days of gains for the Dow. Today, the index posted up 337 points, as it seems that the U.S. may divert a costly default, at least until December. Stocks extended early gains after Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said in a floor speech that top Democrats and Republicans in the chamber had reached an agreement to extend the debt ceiling through early December, and said that a deal could be completed as soon as today. And today, I will share those final numbers from Wall Street with you in just a bit. You know, if there's been a bright spot in the economy, it's been with the booming housing market. Home prices have skyrocketed, there are bidding wars between parties, mortgage rates are down, and there's a lack of pre-owned housing. All of that has contributed to a very hot market. But there are some places in the U.S. that are at risk. 24/7 Wall Street says that based on an index of three measures, foreclosure rates, share of underwater mortgages, and affordability, at the county level, we've got a list of the top five at-risk housing markets. You ready? All the data in this story was compiled in the first quarter of this year. Special coronavirus report from Adam Data Solutions, a real estate and property data company. So let's get to the data, shall we? The number five county out there where housing is at risk is Clay County, Florida. That's the Jacksonville metro. The median home there is priced at $250,000. 16.6% of them are underwater, meaning they owe more than the home is worth, and there are 57 homes with foreclosure filings. Number four is Bay County, Florida. That's the Panama City metro. The median home there is priced at a bit more than $262,000. Nearly 23% are underwater, and houses with foreclosure filings amount to 55. Number three is McHenry County, Illinois. That's the Naperville-Elgin metro. The median home there is priced at $235,500, with 18.6 of them underwater, and there are 70 foreclosure filings in the county. Number two is Atlantic County, New Jersey. That's the Atlantic City metro. The median home there is priced at $244,500, with 24.4% of them underwater and 89 foreclosure filings. And the number one county at risk in the U.S., by this study anyway, is Sussex County, New Jersey. The median home is priced at $293,500, with 18.2% underwater and 45 foreclosure filings. Now, what put them at the top of the at-risk counties list was the cost of housing as a share of the median income. And that's a whopping 40.6%. In other words, housing costs take over 40% of a family's income. You want to see the full list of at-risk counties by going to 24/7 Wall Street and searching for at-risk housing counties. And the story continues. All over the country, we're watching as restaurants and coffee houses reduce their hours or close an extra day out of the week because they're short of workers. The common wisdom is that these workers are staying home because they're getting all sorts of government handouts. However, if you speak with these former food service workers, that is not the issue. What is at issue is low pay, inflexible working hours, customer harassment, and having moved on from food service to some other job sector. According to restaurant operators surveyed by the National Restaurant Association, 78% said that they did not have enough workers to handle business, and 61% of fast food restaurants said that they have decided to shut parts of their dining rooms in August because they didn't have the workers to serve those areas. Now, the answer to all of this, according to Iowa State University economist Dave Swenson, is that restaurants need to come to the realization that the days of cheap labor is over. You know, there is always something, it would seem, brewing over at Tesla. Shareholders are busy right now voting to kick Kimball Musk, the brother of founder Elon, off the board. The results were not in at the time of our broadcast, but just know that's going on. For years, one of the most sought-after demographics among advertisers has been the teen market. With cash available and ever-changing desires, this market sometimes is tough to engage. MarketWatch is reporting on an interesting study by Piper Sandler on what teens are doing with their buying power today. Turns out, they're buying Chipotle burritos and Nike gear when they're not strolling and scrolling through Snapchat. The firm surveyed 10,000 teens with an average age of 15 years and 8 months, quizzing them on their preferences. Here we go. Some interesting data for you. Chick-fil-A, Starbucks, and Chipotle dominated teenage food tastes, with Chipotle leapfrogging over McDonald's as the third most preferred restaurant for teens. Nike was the overwhelming favorite clothing brand for the 11th straight year, as 27% of respondents said the swoosh was their top choice. No other brand, by the way, reached even 10%. When it came to shopping online overall, Amazon was the top e-commerce website for 56% of the respondents. Let's talk social media for a moment. Snap was once again the favorite social media brand, as 35% of teens preferred it over any other company. But TikTok is hot on its heels, with 30% of teens naming the video streaming site as their favorite social media platform. Instagram's popularity has slipped. 22% of teens named the Facebook-owned photo-sharing site as their social media choice, which is down significantly from its peak of 31% in spring of 2020. What's more, legacy social media brands like Facebook and Twitter are now below messaging platform Discord in terms of teen preference. It's more bad news for Facebook, which has been under fire as a whistleblower has accused the company of putting profits over the safety of its teen users on Facebook and on Instagram. And even there's talk about cryptocurrency. Among the surveyed teens, 9% claim to have bought Bitcoin or another cryptocurrency. 81% of those teens that have bought identify as being male. Some interesting data. Speaking of data, the numbers popped again today on Wall Street as the Dow rang up 337 points to close at 34,754, while the Nasdaq gained 152 points, ending the trade at 14,654, while the S&P 500 picked up 36 points to close at 4,399. All of this was brought on because of a debt limit extension deal hammered out by Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. The deal puts off the government default for a couple of months. Fresh figures, by the way, show that 326,000 Americans applied for first-time unemployment benefits in the week that ended October 2nd. That is down from 364,000 the prior week, and that fact also helped boost sentiment. And finally, there is this, as long as we're talking about unemployment. Employment attorneys have told CNBC that if workers are fired for not getting vaccinated, they will not, in most cases, qualify for unemployment benefits. They say terminated workers would qualify in instances of a religious exemption, disability, or other eligible job separation, but refusing to comply with a vaccine mandate could be considered misconduct, which would then likely disqualify them from receiving unemployment benefits. To that end, we're seeing more and more corporations, including Fox News, that now have a vaccine mandate. And get this, if you're not vaccinated over at Fox News, people have to undergo a daily COVID test. And healthcare providers across the country have terminated unvaccinated workers or placed them on unpaid leave. United Airlines is expecting to fire 600 unvaccinated employees. All right, stay with us and click through for one of the most unusual conversations about business coaching we've ever done. You're about to meet Kim Gratney, the founder of Full Circle Creative and Coaching. She uses horses and horsemanship in her corporate or one-on-one classes. This is really interesting.